Well, as we told you yesterday, all charges dropped in the case of the Flint water crisis. Seven state officials facing felony cases, criminal cases, all of them dismissed based on a Supreme Court ruling earlier that the one-man grand jury used to charge the defendants was simply unconstitutional. Certainly a landmark ruling, and it's unclear now whether or not those charges will be filed. There have been a lot of people working very hard and also spending a lot of tax dollars trying to get justice for the people of Flint. And it has now yet suffered another setback and a lot of fingers being pointed at Attorney General Dana Nessel. One of those who was deep into this as one of the advocates within Attorney General Bill Schuette's office was Todd Flood, who has watched this suit get derailed, or I should say these charges get derailed time and again. Todd is attorney and managing partner at Flood Law and joins us live this afternoon. Todd, I know it's not the outcome you wanted, and I know this wasn't a surprise. In fact, I think you predicted this on our show, but it's very personal for you. Can you put your disappointment into words?
I don't know if I can. You know, can you tell me another case in the history of the United States where we had knowledge of people passing at such a level of Legionella in a city where the water was contaminating the drinking water, and then to have it happen a second year or so in 14 and 15? I can't think of another catastrophe that marks one like this. And unfortunately, you know, I don't see on the front page today all over the place that, you know, the fervor of this going away as much as when it was first charged, or when people found out that children were being poisoned with lead and people were dying from the bacteria of Legionella. So it's a very sad day. It's an ugly day for many, especially when I went to funerals. Mm-hmm. And I buried a friend that I made in Flint who passed away from Legionella. So I prosecuted this case. It was very dear to me. I lived 3 years with it. It's very sad. One-man grand jury ultimately was, it makes common sense. You got to have a separation of powers. So what happened with the new team after they dismissed our case when we were getting ready for trial, and using cooperating witnesses, when they dismissed this, they put together a one-man person grand jury, and they brought in the case, and the one-man grand jury, as we talked about before, Guy, issued charges. Can't do that. Prosecutor's got to issue the charges.
Right.
One-man grand jury can bring in the witnesses and help the investigation. You can use a citizen's grand jury, but you can't use a one-man grand jury to issue charges.
Well, you mentioned, Todd, though, that, I mean, you guys were ready to go to court. You were loaded for bear. You'd done your prep work. You were ready to launch. And then A.G.
Right.
Nessel comes in, short circuits everything, says, well, we got to go back to square one, and we've got to redo this. It took time. And now the defendants are saying, well, the statute of limitations has run out on these cases. The judge is going to rule on that if new charges are refiled. How much of that is in Dana Nessel's lap now is just being unnecessary work and a bad strategy that may allow these folks to avoid being charged?
So the strategy of using the grand jury obviously is a major faux pas. The bigger, and even to compound that faux pas just one step further, let's say there was some meritorious way of bringing or resurrecting the charges that the statute of limitations hadn't lapsed. The other shoe that would drop here is if they brought new charges, they would have to bring in a whole new taint team or a team to review the material, because unfortunately, Guy, in the second prosecution, they didn't have a filter to prevent privileged communications from being exposed to the prosecutors.
Right.
So in other words, if you, Guy, were being prosecuted and I searched and got your phone and you had communications in there, Guy, with your lawyer, and I took that and then I read those communications, I'm now barred basically from prosecuting the case. Someone else has to come in if that's tainted me. So think of those documents. So I don't see this case ever being resurrected. One, that would have to be a vehicle or a way to make it that I've just not seen. And I've looked at this 500 different ways from Sunday. And Governor Snyder's case, because he's in the district court judge is going to have to dismiss his case as well, because that was indicted. But that was just a misdemeanor.
Right.
The reason why we did what we did, and if it was asked of me, why did you proceed with a preliminary exam to get probable cause? Didn't you go the grand jury route? We wanted, and we learned from major cases in the city of Detroit how investigative reporters can help prosecute a case, how pressures can come to prosecute a case. We wanted our evidence to be in public in front of a judge and to have the defense attorneys have the opportunity to cross-examine. And we wanted to be able to show by the standard and the threshold we needed to do. We made that conscientious decision. So
right.
That's how we got our case ready for a jury trial. A judge found for the first time in our country's history probable cause to find the director of Health and Human Services of a state and a doctor of the state probable cause to bind them over for a manslaughter charge.
Right.
So that's what we did.
So this is what was in AG Nessel's press release. She said this: despite the prosecution's tireless pursuit of justice for the victims of the water crisis, the courts have once again sided in favor of well-connected, wealthy individuals with political power and influence instead of the families and children of Flint. Do you agree, or is that someone that's trying to dodge responsibility for what may have been some pretty bad malpractice from a strategic standpoint?
You know, I think we're a forgiving society. If you just stand up and just simply say, hey, this is a tragedy and a faux pas, and I wish I could have the redo button. I don't think Justice McCormick in any way since, I don't think Justice Bernstein was thinking about this being a decision for the wealthy.
Yeah.
I think they were thinking about this decision. If you listen to Justice Bernstein and you listen to his questions of the attorney general, the assistant attorney general at the time when the oral arguments were going on, how is it that this one man grand jury is fair to due process of the poor folk? How is it that they would be able to challenge this this separation of powers? So he was looking at it from a lack of due process and giving more rights and interpreting the statute for the grand jury as it was meant,
mm-hmm.
the one man person. So I think the attorney general is remiss in saying what she's saying about a duplicity argument for the rich and the poor. It's just the way the statute was written and intended. So we could have a citizens grand jury. Yeah, they can issue charges. So one man grand jury, a judge can help you deal with investigations and protect those that need to be protected because of the sanctity of being secret in testimony because of threats of death and violence when we had the mob and things of that sort. But that's her statement is, I don't think, well thought through from a standpoint of what's going on in this world. So that's my personal opinion.
Yeah, it certainly struck me as being disingenuous for someone that had made a number of errors. Todd, I know it's a frustrating day. I appreciate you coming on and laying it out for us.
Guy, it's always a pleasure being on your show. Thank you.
All right, you take care. Todd Flood, who led this case and led it well on behalf of Bill Schuette's administration within the AG's office. And that was seems so, so long ago. So long, the statute of limitations has lapsed. 344 on News Talk 760 WJR. A school security official. The gun goes off. What does that say about arming teachers? We'll get into that next on The Guy Gordon Show.